Grace be unto you and peace from God, from our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I will read in the beginning of the sermon from the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, Chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from the God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see these, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through thy gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Amen. In that prayer of faith that the Heavenly Father will enlighten all, and we pray unto him, that he will give those words that would be encouraging us through our battle of faith in this time. This letter, the second letter of Paul to Timothy, is the last letter of Paul. He had been released from prison where he suffered in the Roman prison, and he was able to live in his own room and did the work of the kingdom of God. And Paul relates how many of the soldiers of Caesar also believed and were encouraged to start speaking of the kingdom of God. God led Paul from the prison in Caesarea in Rome after many different phases of life. But I will not speak of those. But he was freed from there. But the time of Nero's he had been taken prisoner again. It comes out in the last portion of this Timothy, and he says in the first answer, in his first day of judgment, there was no one else with him, and he sorrowed over that, but said that God was with me and rejoiced over that he was able to once again confess his faith before the Caesar. How then did Paul and Timothy meet? This letter, it has been said that this is the testament of Paul to a beloved son, Timothy, to a spiritual brother, a spiritual son. Paul did missionary work, and he traveled from city to city. He was in Pisidia of Antioch, in Turkey of today, in the south portion. He made 3 mission trips. And on the second mission trip, he met young Timothy, to whom this letter is written, as I said, as a testament in Lystra of Laconia, where Paul came. They were not easy journeys of the gospel. But he many times had to battle with the Jews. But the gospel went anyway forward. And when they became angry and to take Paul and Barnabas, they changed places. Paul had been here before in that area. Our text here began with this greeting. And Paul greets his beloved son Timothy and says, from God the Father and the Christ Jesus our Lord, grace and mercy and peace be unto you. And continues, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. and without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Paul, as he wrote this, he was in heavy chains in the prison, but he wished to his brother Timothy to write this letter. It is a very rich letter. Paul gives advice how to dwell in the congregation of God. And the most important words of this letter is to keep that gospel and the word of God that you have heard from me. Do not change it. Speak of it. And that from where you have learned of it. And he says here, when he says, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. What a great importance that is, beloved children of God, is that prayer. We can pray on the behalf of one another. We know in this time, how much sorrow the enemy of the soul has done to the children of God. Trials of illness, falls into sin, falls out of faith. Paul had a very long intercession prayer that he wished to remember, and Timothy was also there at the beginning. When I have prepared for this service, it had been a joy to receive from beloved close friends, brothers and sisters, WhatsApp messages and text messages that they remember me, that they wish to remember you in their prayer. And the servants of the Word of God have nothing to give from themselves. But as we heard a little before, God gives us a gift, all the good that he wishes to give and say unto his congregation, encouraging and teaching. And here he continues, I remember thy tears. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, I may be filled with joy. This letter was sent to Ephesus. Paul had sent Timothy as a bishop. And if when we remember when Paul prayed for a helper for himself, God heard that prayer. And when they came to Nicaea in Lystra, God showed Timothy there was a good testimony of him in the midst of the believers. He was from the grandmother of Lois and the mother Eunice. He was believer. The father was a Greek who had died earlier. But Paul here thanks God And I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy was a Christian from childhood. He had been in the teaching of the Word of God. And Christianity always begins in the home. It is great to see that you mothers and fathers have had strength to come with your families to summer services. I remember how children want to come and how they rejoice that they are able to come here. Paul valued that this mother and grandmother had taught Timothy. He says here in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Oh, how the Heavenly Father has arranged for us that we have been able to take our children to daycare, to Sunday school, and to Bible classes. It pays to bring them. It pays to take care of the faith of a small child in the same way as a gardener cares for the flower that he has planted. It will not grow if it doesn't receive nourishment. It must be cared for that it would take root into the ground. It is planted there. The Heavenly Father has given you, you who have families. And there are many friends and many beloved ones who do not have a family, but they have taken part. Have been able to experience how they have helped us in our lives. But mothers and fathers have that duty to bless these little children as seedlings of heaven, that they are planted into this kingdom. A small child who is born as a child of God into this world, it needs that grace in the same way. All the way from when he is small, it is good to encourage and to strengthen this life of faith. Oh, how the enemy of the soul, through many different things, is pulling a small child like this away from the Lord Jesus. This is what the Bible tells us. When in Jesus, in the time of Jesus, the child's place was not as it is today. We remember how the disciples tried to keep the parents from bringing their own children unto Jesus to be blessed. There is a familiar portion in the Gospel of Mark when Jesus says, Verily I say unto you, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. For if you do not become as a little child, he shall not enter therein. That is an example to us, that God has chosen such a small child as a picture of a believer. But we know that even our church does not teach it this way. They accept the child after baptism, but that is not according to the Bible. But the children of God know there are many, many portions of the Bible a small child is born as a part of this Savior, the Lord Jesus. We do not have to think that then when the child can understand, he can believe. It is the opposite. Faith opens that understanding. In the book of Jeremiah, in the first chapter, in verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This is how Jeremiah wrote. God sees all from far away. And Psalm 87. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. That all peoples are born. And this, the son Timothy, was able to be raised by a believing mother and a believing grandmother, and had kept his childhood faith. And then when Paul came onto that mission trip, our text tells us wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. Timothy was able to be a friend of Paul and a working companion of Paul in the doing the work of the kingdom of God. In the times of the New Testament, when the word was brought forward, it was different then. Paul brought it into those congregations encouraged them to go and preach and gave them strength to those who preached. We know that when the gospel receives feet somewhere, the enemy of the soul builds a temple and is turning people away from this living faith. Here in our text it is spoken of For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, which is in thee by putting on of my hands. In the first letter of Timothy is the same portion. Where Paul sent Timothy into that office. Oh, how joyful it is to see that in our beloved fatherland, there have been blessed many new young speakers. It is a great joy unto us older speakers that there are more to do the work of the kingdom of God. It is yet the time of work. It is such valuable work that we cannot picture it. When we move from spiritual death into life, God leads us in the work. It is a wonderful matter. And it always brings us there to where there are accepting hearts and speaks of the gifts of grace. The first letter to the Corinthians about the gift of grace teaches that God gives them as a gift to everyone. It says in this way, grace gifts are many different kinds, but the Spirit is the same, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. This is how Paul in the letter to the Corinthians writes. And it speaks of such a gift, which is important to the believer. There has been in all different times heresies. And there was also in the congregation of Ephesians, the Bible speaks. As to Gnostics, such a doctrine that did not keep Jesus as the Son of God. And there were many different things there. Man always tries to find something which would fit him, even today. And it was a time where many give up God and do not remain with the congregation. And Paul asked Tom to do not go with such, do not begin to argue with them. They have been in the midst of the children of God. But Paul said, they are not of us, for they have left, gone away. No one wishes to leave the kingdom of God with a good conscience, but sin has attached. You can say that sin has gotten bigger. And that is because of sin. But one has not been able to take care of sin. Oh, how it has been spoken of here at these services, that we always have strength to put sin away when sin attaches. We are of two portions here, and we fall into sin. It is our inheritance. It follows us, and we fall into sin, and we should repent of these so they do not remain on our conscience. If we read of the history of Christianity, it speaks of many different heresies, even from us many have left. It has always been that the conscience has not been in good condition. We have not had strength to take care of it. Paul, when he said goodbye to the children of God in Ephesus, he said to them, "Take care of yourselves and of your flock." That has been given into your care. And he said that amongst you is rising such people as if that they do not save the flock. He saw these battles. And then our text continues. Who hath saved us and called us within holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. These are the words of salvation. And he preached in Athena in this way. God has allowed the people to be without knowledge, but now it is that all must repent. And this same repentance we tend to preach here, this same forgiveness of sins here at the summer services in Gauhava. And one has come here, such a person who do not yet of this grace of God, we say, "It was good that you came. The Heavenly Father has called you unto him and wishes to be giving you this same gift, which is the most precious gift here upon this earth, when one can receive and carry this gift of faith in their hearts. It is as if in these times of the end, it is very strongly seen. And the Bible tells us it is the mount in Zion, the most highest mountain at the end of times, and it can be seen far. And we can see how the gospel spreads. We would never have seen it to go, but God has his own roads, his own ways. God sends it as Jesus said, beginning in Jerusalem, to preach the word in the forgiveness of sins unto all the world. And in chapter 11, Paul says, I have been set, I speak the truth, I do not lie. I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. It was his work. It continues here in our time. And God takes care of this. He preaches the gospel unto the end of the world until the second coming of Jesus. We can be beloved children of God. We can rejoice at this grace of God. And you all who do not yet believe, I wish to say, repentance and the forgiveness of sins is the work of God from the beginning to the end. It is not our words, not our saying, but when we, as children of God who have received this grace and have drank of this living water, God from heaven lets its dew, this grace dew, to drop into your hearts, and it testifies that we are children of God, and so it is comforting and safe to remain beloved children of God. Paul knew that difficult times are coming. He says here at the end, in the beginning of chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. But Paul saw life to end, and he says in the middle of the chapter 4, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. It came before the death of the Caesar. And Paul was able to leave this life. And he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Beloved children of God, it pays to believe. I wish to remember you.